VIE Radio, guaranteed to make more sense than Ozzer or your money back.
Howdy everybody, VIE podcast time. I'm the only one here today. Red Falcon cannot be here with us today. He went to some video store, probably renting pornography. So I'll take over for today alone. Today we are going to talk about the VIE campaign. We just finished our first campaign, a win for the Axis, so in your face. So guys, first, before we talk about the tournament, let's talk about the changes to Source. What do you think? This weapons and film grain hitboxes, all that kind of stuff. What do you think about the new updates to Source?
Well, I for one don't like the film grain, and why can't you shut it off completely? Because every time I restart, it's back again. It's really pissing me off.
I don't mind the film grain thingy. What I like is the improved hit registration with the melee weapons. It helped me really to kill people with a knife and spade. And, well, the Garand is better. That's cool for me too. But otherwise, I didn't notice many changes. We should try those new maps with a new game mode in the next campaign. That should be interesting.
I don't feel so much improved hit reg, but I feel the weapons are better anyway. Like, yeah, the Garand and the Bar.
Yeah, I agree, the Garen is definitely better. I hate that film grain, though. Luckily, you can switch it off.
Yeah, unfortunately, it comes back every time you restart. I don't know why.
That'll be another update.
Yeah, maybe try and put the CVAR in a read-only config. So
try that. Don't put it in a,
yeah. Oh, unlucky you. I like it personally. It gives you something else to look at when you're dead.
I get a headache from it.
Yeah, I don't mind the new stuff. I can't stand the film grain. I turn that off every time. Hitboxes, I really didn't notice them, but I'm sure they're there. They told us about it in the update. And the weapons, it was just mostly Garand and Bar, and they're pretty good. The Bar definitely needed that quicker reload, but it's a good weapon, and Garand is freaking awesome now. I was getting out-sniped across the map with the Garand, like, a couple times on supply trains. It's a good weapon. I'm picking it up often now.
Now all we need is Brits and Pyros back, and this is again the good old DOD as we know it.
Yeah, I'm really missing the Brits, especially the Enfield. That one was cool.
What I don't like is, the new maps. We got Colmar, for example, here. It's okay for demolition mode on Colmar, because you got, like, two objectives to each team, so you have to push to be able to win the map. But then you have Jagd, where just one team sits back and camp their asses off while the other team tries to blow it up. And that's like, nah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Jagd is a camp fest. Like, you can set up machine gun looking directly at the Sherman tank. Anyone who tries to run up there will get, like, destroyed by the 30 cal that's just probably sitting there.
Yeah. You know what? It reminds me of Schwetz, if anybody remembers that one, where one team had to cap the city within, like, 15 minutes, I think it was. There was, like, 7 flags or so. That was a camp feast, too, but a pretty nice one.
Yeah, but that switched in the next round, so then the other team would have to defend. And that map was a little bit bigger and elaborate than Yacht. I mean, the new route they added for the access to go to the supply truck kind of thing. This was totally silly. They have a route leading to every single objective, so it's just rush in and the allies just pitch a tent at every single location. It's pretty lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should probably use it as some allied territory, I guess.
Andy.
In case we're gonna use it at all, that's still far from being determined right now.
Also, the problem is the roads are very narrow on Jagd, so if you have more than 8 players a team, you're gonna get a lot of team kills.
Team kills? Oh my god, on the on the pub that I was playing on, oh my goodness, it was my clan server, and a lot of VIE guys were in there too, but oh my god, the team kills were flying off the charts.
Yeah, every time I try to shoot somebody else from my own team comes running in front of me, and I kill him, and then I get shot by the other guy, and then I get slapped or something.
Yeah, the map seems a lot smaller altogether. I'm not sure about the true size or anything, but it just surely seems smaller than it was before.
Yeah, the old version in Classic Dot was more open. I think that was once slightly better.
Yeah, it's slightly better. I didn't like Yag so much then either, but yeah, it's a lot bigger. No chance of team killing anyway.
Unless you're a jerk.
Yeah, and of course you had objectives both way on it too. Either steal the plans for the Brits, or the Brits steal the plans from the Axis, and Axis destroy the tanks.
Oh, come on, nothing was better than scrambled. the chicken and the cow? Come on.
Scrambled is unbeatable. I hope somebody makes a remake.
Scrambled was an awesome map if you were scrambled. If you were Axis, scrambled was awesome. If you were Allies, scrambled wasn't so awesome.
I was always Axis when we played it.
And when we strip out all the sounds and annoying messages that popped up right in the middle of your sight, that was just awesome as well. I think I never cursed so much ever as playing Scramble, because every time I try to shoot somebody, you get like this pink message in the right in your face and goes blah blah blah, and you get shot.
Or the spawn camping protection. Oh, out of the vicinity.
Yeah.
Or like one of the Three Stooges, like nah.
And that anti-camping spot as well, that you, when you get blown up for sitting in a corner outside the tank or something.
Yeah. But still, the battles in Scrambled were always fun, at least those I were in. Remember the one in BV-22? That was awesome.
Yeah, I was second on 30 cal kills. I had 77.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was Axis.
I always went the same route as you did. That was fun. I had like 60 Luger kills.
I think I gave in after an hour of playing and told the map to go pork itself or something.
You don't have to worry about cursing. Curse all you want on this fucking show. I don't give a damn.
Oh, holy fuck. I was so fucking worried about that shit.
Cock. Balls.
That's all you think
about.
Thank
you for that generous input.
You're welcome.
Very creative.
Hey, I'm a master of my craft.
Yeah, we know. We know what you do, you and your lubricant.
You know what you do, you and your dolphins.
You don't know anything about me and my dolphins. His name is Flipper.
Okay, guys, who played yesterday, Supply Train and Camille to end our first campaign. What did you think about those maps?
I couldn't participate, actually, because I've been so busy moving my stuff, because I got to move on Saturday, like a month sooner than I thought it would be, so I couldn't participate. I had other things to do, I'm afraid.
Now, I was just going to say, I think Supply Train is a very good map. I think it's an even map. Small problem with Allied spawn, not being able to throw nades over certain walls. But apart from that, it's really good.
Yeah, I agree completely. Had some fun on the map, but was also quite difficult to see all the snipers and car wars who were camping everywhere. It's a long-range map, but it's fun if you use the right tactic to control it.
And you have all the right numbers in the actual, in the teams.
Yeah, that was the biggest problem, I think, on Allies.
Oh, I was getting I think Law Dog was standing in your spawn, sniping out. I didn't want to shoot him because I didn't want to get anyone mad that I was spawn camping. I didn't know which one was Law Dog because he kept on moving around. I think I popped Holy Warrior in his spawn, and I'm very sorry about that if he's listening.
How did you get in front of our spawn without capping the map?
Well, the Allied spawn, it looked like a ramp. I didn't get close to it, but there's this ramp or something with a with the top of this gate or something, or a fence in front of it, and Lawdog was standing on that thing. So I saw your heads come over the top from the all the way on the right side of the map. I saw your heads come over the top in bunches, so I'm guessing that was the spawn.
Yeah, you probably guessed right. The Allied spawn is somewhere on the far left side of the map if you see it from Axis.
Oh. Hey, Jukebox. First time being general, huh? How'd you like it?
I actually liked it. At the beginning, I was very worried because I'd never ever had done anything like that before. But as I got into it, I was actually starting to enjoy it. I wasn't too good at actually doing the commanding on the battlefield, but that's why I actually got some good COs to actually take over. But the actual forum stuff, yeah, it was not bad. I actually enjoyed it. I would do it again if it came up.
Yeah, I like being general. I like getting my own division. I don't know what's the deal with this campaign here. What, where we have to choose one, or can we choose any number? Are we going, like, numerical order?
No, actually, both generals had the free choice to name their division whatever they wanted. The only restriction we put was that the Allied division had to be a U.S. division, and the Axis division had to be a German division. But apart from that, they could do as they want, but somehow they both ended up with the first division in their numbers.
What's the plan for next campaigns? Are we going to still have a stock U.S. and German one?
No, I don't think so. I think there shouldn't be a problem with choosing more exotic nations. We'll leave it up to the generals again. Some generals tend to be very conservative and just go with the standard units. But maybe they think of something more interesting.
I know, Jukebox, you're probably tired of hearing about it already, but what happened to the numbers in the last couple battles for the Allies?
Well, I've been asking the same questions, and I haven't been getting a lot of answers back. Mainly, just, well, nobody's just been turning up. I think they've, in the last couple of battles, they thought, well, we're not going to win the actual campaign, so nobody's turning up.
I think that's strange. I mean, going to battle isn't only determined by whether there's something to win or not, at least for me. I just show up if you can have some fun. That's why I'm wondering why they all left. Maybe there's something more funny around.
Yeah, I mean, I go into the battle. This is just not for the actual medals or anything like that. I actually enjoy it. But a lot of people, I mean, they've joined up on the Ally side, and they've never played. Half of them have never played at all.
Yeah, but if you remember, Beef Eat has always been like that, with like 50% of the people signed up for a unit randomly disappearing, most of them having never played. You can only hope as a general that the rest remaining is big enough to give you enough numbers in the battles.
We had quite a few new people as well, which joined, which it took quite a while to actually get them used to the actual battles, so it was a bit chaotic for a while.
Yeah, I know, that feels like when I was captain for the first time back in BFU6, we had, I think my division was basically 50 or 60% new people, and they didn't know anything. I was like standing there screaming at them everywhere, and they didn't know what to do. It was like insane.
Yeah, exactly the same here. Had the same problem telling them what to do. They just hadn't got any idea at all, until we got a few people which had been in the old BFE days and actually helped out. And then eventually they got the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have as much of a number problem, except on Camille, but that's a different story. But there are just a couple of new guys who jumped the queue and all that stuff, but I guess that's to be expected.
Yes, true. Actually, it's good to have some new guys so that it's not getting old and dusty here.
Yeah. Good to have a little new people in the CO ranks as well. I mean, some people, yeah, you're afraid of putting inexperienced people as COs, but still, sometimes you gotta let somebody in on, like, on a captain's corner or something.
Yep, you'll never know unless you give them a chance.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's true. I was gonna say, so do you think that we should make Chaos General then?
Oh god, no.
He was corporal, that's enough for first campaign, I think.
Tim Belug is distinctly average until, like, this one round in, Railroad where he just goes, like, 76 and 20 or something crazy like that.
Yeah. That's the problem with my form, it goes up and down. I can have really good, like, I can have 30 minutes of actually awesome play and all of a sudden can't hit shit.
It's the same for me. I'm used to that.
I don't hit shit all the time.
It's because of the crosshair. You have a crappy crosshair. You have to change it.
I run a custom one. I got a dot, actually.
I think Jukebox still has its big circle. Do you still have the circle?
Yeah, I've still got the circle.
That's horrible, actually. Ugh, I can't stand it.
Yeah, me neither.
Bright blue color.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in the screenshot, and I think I posted, that's why Jukebox can't hit shit.
Didn't someone have, like, a violet or pink crosshair?
Didn't you run with some, something
time.
Violet or something? Once Moondoggin 1.3, that weird son of a bitch.
Hmm.
It was something, I think it was maybe, or was it, like, turquoise, and there was something on the side of the crosshair or some shit. I can't remember.
Who, me?
Yeah, I
what
think
are you talking
you.
About?
Talking about you.
I had a rotating crosshair. Some maps it would be red, and a couple maps that I have to change it to green. But it was a cross.
Okay.
Oh, no. It was like a little twisted, it was a twisted cross, but it looked weird. It came with my weapon skin pack.
Yeah, there you go.
It was weird looking. It was very weird looking.
Man, remember,
I still couldn't hit shit anyway.
I know, when I switched from the standard one to a little red dot, you know, I kept losing the crosshair. I was like, where the fuck am I? It's my dot.
Yeah, I'd probably lose sight of the dot.
Yeah, but when you get used to it, it's very nice. Yeah.
Alright, assholes. I think the World Cup is going on. Any predictions?
Yeah, Sweden for the win. No, wait, that won't happen.
Germany.
We keep saying out already, we'll win.
Yeah, Germany or France. I think Germany, actually.
No, I believe Germany will lose their... How many final would that be? Fourth or fifth one they'll lose?
The eight. May the fifth they'd lose and the eight they'd participate in, I think.
Uh-huh. That'd be
actually
sour.
Today I read that since 1950 there hasn't been a single final with both Brazil or Germany missing, so in every final since then one of the two teams has been in, so since Brazil is out already, this means that Germany has to be in the final.
So you're going with statistics to back your prediction up?
No, actually I don't really believe in those statistics, I just believe in the German team. They're just kicking ass. And the whole country stands behind them, the atmosphere is really awesome over here. Never seen so many people so happy before.
Well, see, statistic works, actually. When we when
the
we
Germans
take a look
are so depressed.
Well, statistic works. If you check the penalty shootout against Argentina, It was, Germany hasn't lost a penalty shootout since 1976, I think it was. And you see, they won again. Statistics for the win.
Yeah, but you can always find the statistic to prove your argument, even if it's even contradictory arguments.
Yes, but still, it gives you hope.
True.
I'm rooting for Italy, just as I always been.
I think Italy should have lost against Australia, actually. I'm sorry to say, but that penalty was very fucking hard judged.
I agree.
Well, so was the red card.
Yeah, true, it was.
Yeah,
and
maybe
the Aussies had 45 minutes to capitalize on a man advantage, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, the problem is...
Their skippies gave them some time.
The Socceroos!
Yeah, it's your problem, though.
But I would have been rooting for Australia if they'd play any other team except for Italy.
Yeah, Australia for the win. They were cool.
Yeah.
Because that was the best match in the World Cup so far, was Australia against Croatia. That was the best match I've seen yet.
Yeah,
I actually missed that one.
Hey, Lone Wolf.
Hey, Loney!
Oh, look at this loser finally decides to show.
Only the Loney.
Alright, I guess I'll ask the same question that I asked you. Is, Lone Wolf, how did you like being general?
I don't know. It was really, really good to be able to be in charge of such a great Axis side. I mean, obviously, I don't really know the history at much of Axis teams, but I was really, really impressed with dedication mainly, and just the whole effort that everybody put in from all the COs and all the players. It was just such an awesome experience.
Wow, that was a more ambitious answer than I was looking for. I was just expecting, oh, it was good.
Remember,
so we had two English generals this time.
Oh yeah, I didn't know.
Yep.
I was to take over the world, and the VIE is just our first step.
Yep, we would do it.
But there's no single bridge in the tournament administration.
Too many Germans in the tournament administration. Way too many Germans.
Yeah, like half of all Germans present in VIE.
Way too many Germans.
And don't forget Groove.
Yeah, he's in charge of the damn server. Hey, I think we should stop having the server crash at every round change. How about that?
Good
idea.
That'd be awesome.
I'll sign to that.
Oh, that was so funny. That was so funny when it kept crashing after every round. We're like, oh god, it's going back to Dijon. No!
I think we should run
any map
but
Dijon.
That was giving me the creeps. I always tried to restart the server, and whenever I did, it was in Dijon again, and I had to switch maps, and whenever I did that, the server crashed again. We later found out that apparently SourceTV is something that, the server seems not to like it, so it rather crashes than running SourceTV properly.
The server doesn't like it. We have a server with PMS or something. What the fuck is that shit? We don't give a damn.
We have a female server.
Yeah, sorry if my direct translations don't make sense.
Ozra's direct translations don't make sense.
Never.
Ich will nur leider sehen, wie du deinen Holzkohle totschlagen.
Oh god, he's gonna get started talking German now. See, but look at this. The Axis strategy room, it says, here the Axis CEOs save their strats. Please hold it clean. How are we supposed to hold something clean?
What's wrong about that?
Translated to German, it will be perfectly fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I don't get the mistake.
It's keep it clean, probably.
Oh yeah, true. Well, if
yeah,
I had written it, I had written clean, but it makes sense perfectly to me, whatever he writes.
Someone's using Babelfish.
Dinglish or Germish or however you call that.
So any final parting words on the World Cup? Because England's out!
Yeah, Portugal are a load of pansies and need to know how to act older than 12 years old.
Yep. We could have done it.
Yeah. All I can say is... all I can say is... Cristiano Ronaldo is going to have a nice present waiting for him from Rooney when he gets back to the Manchester United ground.
Oh, didn't you read? He's probably going to switch to Real Madrid now.
Good idea for him.
Probably the safest option.
I gotta say,
the defender did give him a good kick, but that's not good enough because he could actually play against England. But damn, he planted the shoe nice in his upper leg. I don't like this kid.
Yeah,
might be a little shot.
Indeed.
See, the thing was,
I felt so bad for that guy too. I felt so bad for that guy getting a foot in the groin. That's never a good thing, no matter what sport or no matter what you're doing. Getting a foot with cleats in it, right in your balls, does not feel good.
The referee didn't actually see the stamp. He sent Rooney off for pushing Ronaldo.
Yeah, didn't Rooney go off or something to the umpire?
Yeah, he did. I distinctly read his lips going, "Oh, fuck off."
Bollocks.
They said something like, during the games, he usually passes out like 25, 30 fuck-offs to the umpire every time he plays or something in the, you know, the English league, Premier League.
Oh, cool. By the way, which coach was claiming for a protection for the more technical and vulnerable players? Shut up! These guys make millions of years, they're not fucking sissies. Fuck off.
Must have been...
Well,
some
Ronaldo's issues. Track record is sort of like a sissy.
He looks like a sissy, actually. He looks kind of gay.
And he's fat.
Oh, which Ronaldo
no,
are we talking
Cristiano
about?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
One? Yeah. I mean, fuck, the Brazilian Ronaldo might be fat, but holy shit, the guy can score.
Indeed he can.
I can just imagine a Portuguese training session and more just practicing how to fall over convincing.
Yeah, just learn from the masters, Italy.
But I gotta say, like, it was awesome during the game Portugal-Holland when Figo planted that head in the face of that Dutch player, and like 2 seconds after, he goes down.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty funny.
Fucking actor.
Oh yeah, the one with Figo.
Yeah. If you get
or
a
Deco,
punch in the face
from a
heavyweight boxer, you won't go down like that, fucking amateur.
He put his hand to his head and slowly drifted backwards and fell onto the ground.
Yeah,
I've got to admit though. I was gonna say, even if England did get through, their team was pretty stripped in the last two matches, so I don't think we would have got much further. To be honest, if we hadn't gotten through.
You know something I found very hilarious? Well, it's fucking mean of me to say that, but it was the game England versus Sweden, and Owen goes, like, there's not a fucking guy close to him, and the guy fucking flips his leg, totally fucks up his knee, and he's out for 3 months. I was like, what the fuck is the guy doing? Nobody was even close to him.
No, that one was for real.
Yeah, I know, man. It looks so... It's fucking amazing. Nobody was close. I could understand if somebody was right up to him, but nobody was there, you know. It's sad to say it. He's a good player and all, but shit.
Yeah, that one was really mean to watch.
Yeah.
You can just tell something
rip.
Popped.
Indeed.
I read somewhere that Peter Crouch weighs like 69 kilos. Is that fucking true? I mean, oh my god, the guy's over 2 meters and 69 kilos, shit.
Who?
I don't believe that.
I mean,
Peter
it's
Crouch.
Official...
Peter Crouch.
Yeah, it's the official numbers, you know, but still, shit, 69 kilos. But then, okay, if you look at his legs, he doesn't have any calves, any thigh muscles, nothing. It's just fucking shit.
There's some dude who played for Serbia Montenegro, Nikola Zigic. That dude is fucking huge, dude. He's like 202 centimeters. That's like 6'8". 250. Fucking insane. 250 pounds.
Oh yeah, I just looked it up on the official FIFA site. It really says Peter Crouch, white, just 69 kilos, and at 1.98 meters tall. Oh my god.
Yeah, for Moondog that is, what is, 140 pounds basically, a little less, 135 pounds, and he's over 6 feet, so.
Yeah, he's a gangly motherfucker.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
He's really... It's funny watching him run, because he's just so gangly.
Thanks for listening to episode 4 of the podcast. This is Red Falcon 4 Moondog signing off.
Go Italy.
Moondog, your lack of creativity is, well, embarrassing.
Oh, Atrix came back.
Yeah, I'm just grabbing a drink.
And I knew he was drunk all along.
How the heck can you have a phobia on pickles?
Ooh, they're scary.
Yeah, those balloons, they can fucking sneak up on you when you don't know.
It's behind you!
By the way, couldn't the host get a less gay turtleneck sweater?